Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Well, there you are, we have it done. He's on Zoom, is he? Fucking, he's such an idiot. He's not. Oh, he's listening, is he? Oh, sorry. Anton, how are you?
yeah. I love you too. How are you, Dave?
I should have done that better than I did. Moving on. What's going on?
Do you want to do it again with feeling when the crowds?
No, I love it all.
Right,
it's
then.
Live radio.
Because of that, I'm going to start in the one place that I know you really want.
Animals,
you don't want me to.
Animals.
Yes.
With naughty bits from Florida.
If only I could have got Florida. I had a Florida related story, which was a man in Florida shot an iguana and claimed the Florida stand your ground rule because he said the iguana was threatening him. That's a genuine lawsuit. But I thought, no, Dave won't wear that many animal stories.
There's a Florida stand your ground rule, is there?
The Florida stand your ground
rule. Shoot them if they don't stand their ground. People.
Yeah, it's horrendous. If you believe that your life is threatened, and it doesn't mean that your life has to be threatened, it means you have to believe that your life is threatened or you're in danger, you are entirely entitled to shoot the other person dead.
Wow.
And that's what he claimed with the iguana. The iguana was looking at him crooked, so he shot it.
Gosh.
No, this is not Florida, but it's close.
Yeah.
I have an update, Dave.
An update on?
Well, I have two updates, but where we're going to start is with the scrotum frog.
Wait a minute. This isn't a first for me. Had we been talking about this before?
No, Dave, this is not a first for you. This is a second for you. We have discussed the scrotum frog of Lake Titicaca on a previous occasion.
Yes, I remember now when you bring in the lake from Peru or wherever it is, yeah.
I know. When I mentioned the scrotum frog, it could have been any scrotum frog. But once you knew it was the scrotum frog from Lake Titicaca, then you remembered, that scrotum frog that we discussed previously on the programme.
Right,
yes, correct.
Indeed,
that
right.
Scrotum
from the
frog.
Andes. They're high up in the world, aren't they?
They're high up and they are terribly rare, and they're in an area where their habitat is gradually receding thanks to human intervention and where there is significant pollution, so they are under threat, which leads us to the latest update.
The latest update being they're not doing well.
They are not doing well, but the update being that they are now on display in Chester Zoo, where they have 20 of the scrotum frogs. I don't know what the group noun for 20 scrotum frogs is. A wrinkle, I guess. So they're available in Chester Zoo and you can go and look at them. And the fact that they are being, like pandas, they're being helped along in captivity, and hopefully this will mean that for many generations to come, we and our offspring will be able to see amphibian scrota in the wild if they get reintroduced.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. So they've got lots of them in there, kind of a Noah's Ark kind of thing, and you can go and look at them. Is that it?
That's essentially it, yeah. 20 of them, and I assume they're hoping that they will breed. I don't know how the breeding process works with a scrotum frog.
I do. I presume that's the sort of sagging folds of excess skin, and they absorb oxygen through that skin, obviously.
No, that's how they breathe.
That's
not how they
I mean.
Breed.
Oh, I see. Right, okay, how they breed. Oh, yeah, right, okay. Yeah, I'm sure, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, they will breed, and there'll be loads more scrotum
frogs. Reading a book at the moment about lobsters that involves an entire chapter.
Line of the week. I'm going to get a T-shirt. Anton Savage says, I'm reading a book at the moment even, about lobsters.
Correct. It's genuinely fascinating. But one of the
What's
things
it called?
That you
The World Is Your Lobster. Okay, go on, tell me.
No, I think it's called The Secret Life of Lobsters. But one of the things that's fascinating that you wouldn't have expected is that lobsters are very tender lovers.
I didn't have expectations either way, so okay.
No, but if you looked at a lobster, if you listed, you'd think, I bet you pandas are all cute and cuddly and nice to each other.
I get
but if you
now,
looked at
yeah.
lobsters,
yeah, okay.
you'd say, I bet that's going to be uncomfortable and no fun for everybody involved. But it turns out it is a deeply romantic process. It begins almost like Sting. The woman visits the male lobster and he strokes her for up to 2 hours with his antenna.
Wow, that's amazing, right?
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's fascinating. Brilliant.
Can you fake it better?
I will after the next story.
Okay. I have a sport that I think you and also I should compete in.
Oh, don't tell me. It originated in Finland, but it's very big in Hungary and it means taking your wife and your back. No?
No, that was last week. And I still haven't given up on that possibility. Did you learn the vital lesson from last week? What position do you carry your wife in?
Oh, not like a sack of coal, that's for sure. That was my idea.
Correct. Well, what's the technical term?
I can't remember, I don't know.
The Estonian carry, Dave. It
really?
Leaves your arms free for balancing.
Wow, I never would have that. I obviously wasn't listening. Okay, so tell me about this one now.
This is the 10th Lazy Olympics, which are off to, as it is described by RepublicWorld.com, a gentle start in Montenegro.
Sorry, okay, so you go slow in a race, is that it? Very slow.
Even better than that. You don't even have to go slow. In fact, you don't have to go at all. What you have to do is, and this is the word they use, survive lying in bed for the longest time.
At home? Are you monitored? Are you checked?
It's even better than that. The beds are set up in the shade of trees in the village, outside in the warmth of Montenegro. You are allowed to get up to have food and to go to the toilet. But other than that, you have to lie about and have a good snooze. And last year's winner went for 7 straight days and nights of general stretching, snoozing, lazing about and occasionally going to the bathroom.
And can you read a book?
Damn you and your supplementary questions. I'm going to say,
can you?
Well, no, because that's
yourself.
An activity.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I assume you must just have to stay out into space. But look at your man. Remember your man, Carbide?
As in Union? No?
And as in Rifle?
Oh, okay.
Maybe Carbine.
Right. Oh, right, okay.
Sorry,
right.
Carbine. Okay. Yeah, Carbine. It's Carbine? Carbine. Yeah. Carbine. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
He was in a hot box in a military jail in the desert. You know in Cool Hand Luke where they get put in the box and it's the worst possible solitary?
Yeah.
When he came out after, I think, surviving 2 days in it, everybody said to him, but how did you survive? How did you put up with it? And he said, because I wasn't there. And they said, what do you mean? And he had spent the entire time that he was in the box designing the first carbine rifle. He had worked through every single part of it in his head. So as far as he was concerned, he wasn't there. So I assume you do the same thing in the scratcher. You lie there and occupy yourself with thoughts of, in your case, I assume, the Sex Pistols, Joni Mitchell and the great music of our time.
I see. Well, yeah, there is that thing where you have to, if you can get your mind to kind of work it, then whatever's happening is, your mind is bigger than it. Do you know what I mean? Like, for instance, I'll tell you
this
what.
This is the theory.
Hold on. Have you ever seen The Ipcress File? It's one of three yes. movies where Harry Palmer stars, and Harry Palmer is played by Michael Caine, and the first one's called The Ipcress File, and in one of them he's being tortured in a seat, kind of electric shocks or something, whatever. But in his hand he's found a nail, and in his hand he's scrunching the nail like this, and it's bleeding all over his hand, the skin's coming off and the skin's on the ground. But he's in charge of his own pain. That's the point.
Oh.
That keeps him going. So the other thing is just kind of, you know, an aside.
I feel there should be a, what's his features? Not Charles Bronson, your lad. There should be a joke related to
Chuck
this.
Oh, Chuck Norris, yeah. I'm sure that yes. probably is somewhere, yeah.
So, I have other news, right?
Yep.
This is another follow-up. You will, if you cast your mind back, you will remember there was a young man who, 43.
What did these people win if they stay in the bed for a week or if they sleep?
300 quid.
300?
Yeah.
300 quid after a week. So I suppose like if they win the award for kind of laziness, did they send somebody to pick it up for them?
Exactly. There's a general principle that I think we should all apply, which is if there's a central piece of information about the story I don't give you, it's going to be anticlimactic.
Okay.
That's
you don't
a week
know.
Of lying around for 300 quid. Like, seriously, that's...
I've forgotten the line you earlier. Couldn't. What was the one? Oh, yeah. I've read a really interesting book about... I've forgotten what it's even about. What were you wanting to do?
I am currently reading a very interesting book...
Lobsters.
...about lobsters. Anyway,
okay.
You will remember, if you cast your mind back, to the story of David Working, who is 43,
David,
a mere
what?
Babe in arms. Well, it's spelled with a W, so I assume it's German. Working?
Working, okay.
As in your car, it's not Working.
It'll be Arbeit. Okay, go on, tell me about David Working.
David Working sued his parents because he had moved back in with them and they threw out all of his pornography. Remember him?
Oh, I remember something about that. Yeah, I thought that was an American guy. Okay, it's a German guy.
It was.
All right.
No, his name is German, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
Almost all Caucasian Americans came from somewhere else, you see.
Okay,
so in
enough.
His instance, I'm assuming it is a German etymology of a second name. So... He sued his parents because he had moved back in with them because he is unsuccessful in, as far as I can make out, almost every way. And his dad discovered his porn stash and threw it all out. He then took him to court and sued him. And there was much coverage of this. And you and I discussed it when the case was sub judice.
Oh, my God, you have a result. The jury has come
exactly
in.
Correct. The decision has been made.
Gentlemen of the jury or whatever it is, give me your verdict. On the first count of...
Let me do this like a news report, Dave. I've always wanted to do this.
Okay.
U.S. District Judge Paul Maloney has decided that David Working, the plaintiff in the case, is to be paid $29,000 following the disposal of his pornography collection.
Wow, really? That's not like
amazing.
That's not like a news person. I tell you, a news person in the States, what happens is this. Look, I mean, they kind of go, you know, the government today has decided that, you know, tax blah, 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 blah. Here's Sharon O'Neill. Tom Dunphy is 41 years old. He lives in a rat infested. It's always like...
That's true. I should have started with the human angle, shouldn't I?
Straight down to one person.
I was always two BBC.
The one person example, yeah.
Anyway, the remarkable thing about this, I believe, is twofold. The first is that a judge decided that a man's father has to pay him for throwing out his pornography question.
Wow.
Collection.
Can they retrieve it? Go out to the dumpster?
No. It's all gone. It's destroyed. That's the problem. The more significant thing, I think, about this, Dave, is this man's pornography collection was independently valued at being worth $29,000.
Oh, by a judge because it was thrown out. Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, really. And, I wonder, could he have sold it on eBay?
How do you collect $29,000 worth
What's
of pornography?
The word you there? How do you collect? I don't. How does one?
Now, this is post-tax income. Now, I know that America is a low-tax environment, but nonetheless, you're still looking at, he would have, over the years, had to earn maybe $35,000 to spend it entirely on pornography. And the second question that I have that relates to this is, according to The Guardian, which has never made a mistake in its life, this $29,000 figure was arrived at through an independent valuation. Exactly. That's a guy's job.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Like, how busy do you think he is? He's sitting in his office like the Carlsberg complaint line waiting for the phone to ring. Yeah. Hello, do you need pornography valued? I'm in. Margaret, we got a job. The kids can wear shoes.
Larry Hustler or whatever his name was. Yeah. Brilliant.
He's too rich to value.
Yeah, I suppose he is, all right. Yeah. What was the other guy's name? Seymour Butts. Do you remember him? Some of the program on TV.
Yes, Dave, it's time to move on at this point. You know the way. Hardly a day goes by that you don't complain about the smell of tarmac, Adam.
Oh, I love the smell of tarmac, Adam. What are you on about?
Do
I
you?
Yeah. Man, I hate it. Love it.
Oh, well, then I have very bad news for you, because thanks to Poland's tarmac, Adam, and oil producing...
You said Poland like Ronald Reagan used to say it. You know, unlike all those people in Poland. You know, like your man Trump says, China.
Hang on a minute. Teach me how I'm meant to say Poland.
It's not Poland, it's Poland.
That's the same thing. No, the second one was faster.
Like, it's like people who say it's 11 o'clock. It's not, it's 11 o'clock.
The last time this happened, somebody gave vent to me for the way that I pronounced squirrel. And the end result was, I can't change it.
But now all I can... Cumberbatch?
No, that was penguins. Oh.
All right, okay.
Sorry, little thing wings. Right. What did I... I discovered the other day that the penguin used to be nicknamed in Edwardian England.
I discovered the other day. Was that in the book about... oh, God, what was it again? I've forgotten what you were reading.
Lobsters, Dave. The Secret Life of Lobsters. No, it was not. But it was actually... I'll tell you what, if you really want to know, what brought me to it was... euphemisms in Shakespeare, because apparently
another book. Is that some light reading when you're going for the lazy prize?
Correct. I was reading a biography of Shakespeare, and one of the things that it turns out is the hoor was even grottier than we thought, and it led me into a thing about Edwardian slang. And apparently, one of the things that they used to call penguins was foot arses.
Hold on. I wrote an 8-page essay once. It was the best answer I ever gave in a university, College Dublin, thingamabob, in English, about slang, the history of slang. It was brilliant.
Did you?
I can't remember one bit of it right now, but that was a long time ago.
Tarmac.
I know a guy, by the way, he was doing a physics exam in school, and it was this big, long question. And if you put this in and that, and then add this to that, and then just said, why? And he just said, why not?
Well, there's another one like that. An astronomer in the 1970s was asked by an editor of a science magazine whether or not there was any life on other planets. He said nobody knows. The editor wrote back to him and asked, could he give him 1,000 words on that? So he sent him back the words nobody knows, written 500 times. Anyway, yes. Tarmac Adam, Dave.
Oh, Tarmac Adam. Yeah, I love the smell of... Is that like... yeah, Tarmac Adam, I like it. Sorry.
Technically...
It's called after a guy called McAdam, isn't it?
I believe so. Scottish, I think.
Is he?
Now, right. I looked this up because I know how you're a stickler for accuracy. Technically, what we're talking about
is
asphalt.
Oh, it's not bitumen.
Very close. Yeah. Do you know the big advantage of bitumen over tarmac, Adam?
Well, hold on a second. I'll tell you what,
write it down and send it to somebody who cares.
Yeah, exactly. You could take up asphalt and put it somewhere else, but tarmac Adam is forever. No?
My God, that's actually very close.
Damn.
I'm stunned.
Don't know.
How do you know this?
Every time I see guys doing it, I get out of the car and go over and take a sniff and talk to them for hours.
Who's that on his hands and knees over there at the ditch? That's Dave. He's huffing tarmac at him again. The last intervention didn't work. No, you're right. One of the big advantages of asphalt, apparently, compared to tarmac at him, is that you can take it back up and you can repowder it and reuse it. So it's actually a recyclable road surface. The other advantage that bitumen has over tarmac at him is that tarmac at him isn't, because it is tar-based, it's not resistant to petrol and diesel spills. So it can actually dissolve if you get a lot of petrol on it, which isn't a great thing for something that has vehicles on it all the time. So asphalt is a bitumen based slightly smaller aggregate version of tarmac adam.
And a bitumen is that the kind of the liquid? It's kind of a liquid, no, it's a solid kind of, it's a, I don't know, it's petroleum
essentially,
of some sort.
Basically, yeah. More or less, it's a petroleum derivative. It's essentially a cheesecake base, but you just make it using rocks. Essentially it. And the butter is the bitumen.
Right.
So apart from you, everybody else in the world hates the smell of asphalt. It stinks. It's nasty. Nobody likes it. You're odd. So this place in Billund, as you call it, has decided that they're going to deal with this problem. And what they have done is they have created a bitumen compound that smells like flowers.
Oh, that's lovely. Hold on, is it bad for you to be laying those things every day? And like, is this for the health of the workers?
Weirdly, it's one of those things that when you smell it, you would think, okay, this has to be doing something bad to me. But apparently it doesn't do anything bad to you at all. It just stinks.
Oh.
But they think that for the crews that are laying it,
that's,
it's a nasty
cool
environment to be. So they have made a flower-smelling compound so that
that's lovely.
You lay your asphalt around, you create the smell of a summer meadow. It's nice,
isn't
it?
It's a lovely story. Yeah. Yeah. Any more? Are we ending on a
lovely
story?
No, I'm sorry. I was slightly taken aback by the positivity. I'm not used to it.
Your phone's ringing.
Do you mind if I get that?
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm back in a second, Dave. Talk among yourselves.
Hello?
Sorry,
God save the Queen. Oh, there you are. All right, okay. So listen, next week I want you to tell me about 40 interesting things about lobsters, okay?
Oh, I could get you up to about 12 right now if you want.
Look,
shedding,
Dave.
It's very interesting.
Right.
They have to get their little shell.
Goodbye. We'll keep talking if you like. Okay, goodbye.
They have to remove their own mouth parts to get out of their shell.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.